Imagine having a job that requires such strength and precision that your skills are in demand on several continents. A job that has helped to put clothes on the backs of billions of people. A job that's been around since biblical times, but would qualify to be on the endangered occupation list today. That job is sheep shearing, harvesting the wool from animals that graze the hills and valleys of the world, as well as the wide open spaces of the American West. Hal Cannon of the Western Folklife Center has our story.
Spring comes tentatively on the high deserts of Nevada. It's warm and sunny now, but tomorrow it could be spitting snow. In the distance, I spy movement along the horizon, betrayed by a gaudy plume of dust. Getting closer, it now takes on definition, a convoy of trucks and trailers.
There you go.
How are you doing, my friend?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Great.
Deloyd Satterthwaite is the general manager of Ellison Ranches. He greets Charlie Ciacia, foreman of a shearing crew. The crew's been hopping from ranch to ranch from California eastward.
Yeah, we're here now for a day or two anyway, and we're heading for
Wendover. No, you're not.
Yes, we are.
Not till you're done.
No, your sheep are ugly.
No.
Charlie's a third-generation shearer, and his son recently joined the business. Their family reveals a rugged mix of Italian, English, and Maori. Charlie's crew are 100% New Zealand globetrotter.
We shear in Australia, New Zealand, here in the US. We shear in Wales, England. We've had guys with us that go down to the Falkland Islands and that way down below South America. And you shear in Italy if you want to, and just do a big circle around the world, following the money, following the seasons.
Just give it a heave ho.
Okay, go, keep it.
Generators, balers, sorting bins, all are manhandled into place for tomorrow's factory for a day.
It's out.
The women set up a domestic camp, clothes fluttering on makeshift clotheslines, while kids claim a spot for a playground. By morning, they need to be ready to harvest the wool from almost 10,000 sheep. Dawn arrives blurry as the camp awakens to the aroma of coffee and dust hanging overhead. Everybody's rocking to the beat from speakers strung in a line down an assemblage of three plywood trailers, racing striped with sheep dung. Off to the side, one man sharpens blades. Most of the sheep herders are Peruvians, here on three-year work contracts. They've driven their bands, a couple thousand sheep each, in from the winter range to a nearby corral. The heavy-coated ewes have an unsuspecting look on their faces. Like athletes, 17 burly shearers take their places. They grab hold of shears dangling from the ceiling, the foreman gives a signal, and they're off. Sheep are prodded up the ramp in single file. Each shearer grabs one and pulls it into his compartment, and in no time, a 170-pound ewe is fleeced and another takes its place. It's almost like watching a dance. Ranch manager Deloitte Satterthwaite.
To watch people shear sheep is like watching a bonfire. You can watch these guys shear sheep, and they do the same thing every 2.5 minutes, but you just sit there all day and you can watch them.
Sheep shearing is one of the great sporting events down under, and there's a prevailing sense of good-natured competition amongst the men. But beyond the fun, they work fast because each shearer is paid by the fleece.
$1.50 each. The only way to count them, by the money.
And the money can be good when you clip up to 200 each day. But for ranchers, like Satterthwaite, wool is a losing proposition.
It's a disaster. There's no market for wool. I'm going to lose money shearing these sheep. I lost money last year.
Jim Elliott of Salt Lake City has been a wool buyer for over 55 years.
All of our industry has been given away to imports from third world countries and NAFTA countries that have replaced our production. It's that simple. We're down to about 10% of what we were 55 years ago. Amazing.
Also amazing are the new breeds of synthetics, like wool, but lighter, drier, and machine washable. Luckily for sheep ranchers, demand for lamb meat has kept prices pretty good. Fortunately for shearers, sheep get sick if they don't get their annual haircut.
Hey, hey, hey.
By midday, hundreds of bewildered skinhead sheep mingle on one side of the trailers, while enormous piles of wool heap even higher on the other side. Kay Atchison sorts and grades wool. She and her husband started shearing in the U.S. 30 years ago while on their honeymoon.
Our son was born here in America, yeah. He's an American citizen. He travelled all over, and then we went back to New Zealand, had our daughter. She was over here at 9 months old.
You feel pretty at home in America?
Oh, yeah. We have wonderful, wonderful friends. We've worked for this guy for 30 years. So we've all grown up with their kids, and yeah, it's just like a second home.
So would you trade your life on the road for anything?
No. I've lived a good life, a happy life, and I enjoy what I do.
Yeah.
We had some wonderful times. Our first years over here were absolutely brilliant.
Wild?
These guys don't even know how to party.
Oh, mate, you're true.
But they're catching on. At the end of the day, shears fill a lonely bar a dozen miles up the interstate, where they downdraft beer as fast as the bartender can draw it.
Down by the shearing shed, the old shearer stands, holding his shears in his thin, bony hands.
Beer quenches the thirst of these dusty and exhausted men. It's an honest living, an ancient partnership between man and domestic animal. And though it seems so vital here in this bar tonight, the whole industry hangs by a thread. For NPR News, I'm Hal Cannon in Valmy, Nevada.
The ringer looks around and he's beating.